McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Now, we got a very interesting email about the government's new proposal for fuel allowances. And let me know what you think of this, right? As I said, Niall, I was reading the news this morning and saw that the government had plans to roll out a new fuel payment scheme. And I felt such relief, similar to the energy credit, and we all know about the energy credits that kind of vanished, didn't it? And myself and my husband both work. We aren't on any social benefits or disability payments, but we, like many other people, have been struggling so much with money when it comes to the end of the month, and we're really scraping the barrel. It's been so tough. We don't qualify for any government set-up schemes, such as a fuel allowance, because we earn too much, which is a load of bullshit. I don't understand how we can earn too much yet not afford the essentials come the end of the month. We have halved our weekly shop, regularly gone with a cold house just to save a few extra pennies. It just isn't fair. We are really at our wits' end. It's so bad it has started to take a toll on our marriage. We're fighting about silly things because we're so frustrated. And I don't know how much more I can take of this. I wish the government thought of people like us when they introduce new schemes for the less fortunate. And don't get me wrong, I know there's people worse off than ourselves, but we really need the help and it just doesn't seem to be fair and we can't get it. I just don't know what to do anymore. I really wish there was a means testing system or something that gives people an opportunity to access more funds or benefits or help in some way. Thank you for taking the time to listen and read my email. That comes in from Lauren. Now, look, I'm really sorry, Lauren. Sounds like a really tough time for you. And I wish you and your husband all the best. Please don't fight. It's not worth it. You know, it's only money. Love will get you through it. For those of you who don't know, the government is planning to roll out the new fuel allowance scheme where people can get 33 quid a week or two payments of €462 each. Cost of living doesn't just affect people who maybe don't make as much. It affects everyone. And, you know, you could be earning 50 grand a year, but if you've got a mortgage, you know, and a car payment to pay because you need to get to work or whatever, like anybody else, you could be skint. You could be just as skint as somebody who's unemployed and doesn't have a car and doesn't have a mortgage. So what I'm saying is, you know, those kind of things affect everybody. And nobody should go with, a cold house. People shouldn't have to have a cold house. That's just silly in this day and age. But if you can't afford to turn on the heating, you can't afford to turn it on. So let me know what you think. Should the likes of the fuel allowance scheme be rolled out on a means-tested basis? In other words, should there be more leeway in it for people who are actually working, rather than the only people who get it are those who may be already on benefits or those who don't actually earn an awful lot of money, you know, a very small amount of money? Because even if you are earning a decent wage, and when I say it, you know, the average wage, what's the average industrial wage now, 42,000 or something per year, you could still be skint at the end of the month. You know what I mean? You could still, I mean, at this stage now, with the cost of energy now, Ireland is officially, I think, the most expensive place to buy electricity in Europe. I think possibly in the world at this stage. I get Molly just to check that. There was a stage where we were the most expensive in the world. Just have a look at Molly. I think it's electricity. I think we're now officially the most expensive. I know they said the other day we're the most expensive on the forecourts for fuel. So you can imagine heating oil, by the way, which thankfully is not hugely popular in Ireland, but it is in Northern Ireland, heating oil. Gas is more popular in Ireland. But look, energy in general costs a lot in this country. So the government should be given us a dig out because it's their fault. They should be able to regulate it. They should be able to cap it. They should be able to do something about it. They're the ones who are allowing the unregulated market. Now, I know it's a free market. I get all of that before you start fighting with me. And I'm not anti-capitalist or anything like that. But there's a limit to how much you can be ripping people off. Okay, so Ireland, sorry, Molly's just verified it. We're the highest in Europe. So it's the most expensive place to live in Europe to heat your home, light your home, fill your car, all of those things. You know what I mean? The highest energy bills in Europe. So, I mean, when they're going to be handing out this money, would they not just give it to everybody who earns under a certain amount of money? Let's say, I'd say €100,000 family income. Family income. I don't mean just per person, but family income. Right? That would be fair to me because, as I said, just because, you know, a family of, say, a husband and a wife who both earn 40 or 50 grand each, you think to yourself, oh, they're bleeding loaded. They're not loaded. They've got a mortgage. They have to pay all their own bills. They get no benefits. They pay their own back to school costs. They get nothing for nothing. They pay their property tax. They pay all of the things that a lot of people who are on lower incomes or not on an income at all and living on social welfare don't have to pay. They pay their own medical fees. They don't have a medical card. They pay all of those things. They don't get a HAP scheme. They don't get a rent allowance. They don't get anything. They just pay for everything. So I'm asking you, would it be fair? Why don't they just give it to everybody? Let me know what you think. Why should it be means tested for those that are on very low incomes? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Helen. Helen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Great to talk to you again. How are you?
You too, Helen. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
I won't be fighting with you anyway.
No. Don't fight with me.
Never do that, no. No, listen, honest God, it is a complete and utter joke. I mean, the old saying, the rich get richer. There's no such thing as that anymore, in my eyes anyway. You know, everybody is struggling in their own different ways. Mm. There is no way a family, you know, that would be on good jobs, as you said, you know, and would have their children going to school. They do have the same expenses as everyone else. They're working, they're getting up in the morning at 6 o'clock, they're doing a full day's work, their diesel or petrol is going up, this is going up, that's going up, there's nothing going down.
No. Nope.
So why aren't they entitled to at least that?
Mm.
At least. And I mean, that would be very little to me for what they're doing for the country.
Yeah.
Because there is so many other people doing nothing.
Yeah, well, it's only 900 quid a year. Like, it's 462, two payments of 462 or 33 a week. It's only 900 quid a year. It's not a huge amount of money when you think about it, the big scheme of things.
No, it is not. It is not. And to be honest with you, Niall, I get it myself, but I'm living alone and, you know, I'm separated, whatever. So I'm an invalidity. So, I mean,
you're entitled to it, yeah.
Get it. Yeah. Yeah. But having said that, I did have to fight tooth and nail for where I am today. You know what I mean? For the invalidity pension, whatever. I did have to fight. I did have to literally, I didn't bother turn off my shorts. I wouldn't do that for anybody. But literally, it was just unbelievable. You know, so those people, you know, it goes from every category in my eyes, because there is people that are on disability. They fought for their underdog. You know what I mean? You fight for everything in this country. And yes, the good people are the ones that are left out. And as they say, Niall, money is the root of all evil.
I'd hate to think of anybody sitting at home not turning on their heating because they can't afford it.
Oh, stop. Like, and would you believe, I was here tonight and I'm not sure how much oil I have in the tank. And I'm roasting. But like that, I didn't bother putting it on because I said, shit, if I put it on and there's no oil, all my rags will bleed out. So I'm depending on that money this week.
Yeah.
I'm actually depending on it. I won't lie
to you. Are you going to get a full payment of 462, is it?
Yeah, I guess the two lump sum payments.
Okay, so what will you do with that? You fill your tank with oil, is it?
I fill the tank. Well,
you won't. Let me tell you, you won't fill the tank with 462. You won't.
No. I put 300 into the tank, and I get 100 euros worth of coal.
So right. That okay.
I have a kind of evened out a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Eamon Ryan just shudders went through his body when he heard you say that. You're buying coal.
Sorry?
Yeah, I said if Eamon Ryan was listening, the shudders would be going through his body because you said you bought coal.
No, I'll put the shudders through him, motherful, holy, divine, him and his electric cars. You go away. He's only a pure joke. Sorry, no, but there's a limit to what we can take. And we're taking so, so much. As your last caller said, and you know, the people that are struggling, they shouldn't be struggling now.
No, they shouldn't. Well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Dave as well. Dave, hi, how are you?
Hello?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Oh, what's the crack?
Yeah, are you surprised that I put you on or something like that? Or you seemed kind of surprised I came to you so quickly there.
I was just tuned out there for a minute. Sorry, my bad.
That's okay. You're allowed to do that every now and again. Let you tune your brain out every now and again. So going back to the email, so she's kind of given out that why is it means tested just for people on low income or social welfare? You know, why isn't it given an opportunity to get a few quid? Because even if you are working, you know, you're probably paying a mortgage and paying all your bills and your skins anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, I firmly believe that the likes of stuff like work and family payment, fuel allowance, you know, that kind of stuff that's given to people on a lower income, the thresholds for stuff like that should be, you know, they should be higher, they should be raised, you know, because we're all constantly hearing stories of people losing their carers allowance for, like, their disabled kid because, God forbid, the husband got a pay rise,
got a rise,
5 euro Yeah, so no, it is. It's like the caps are way too low, particularly like for the world we're living in now and for the times that we're living in. You know, maybe 10 years ago it would have seemed acceptable, but no. And we see what it does then is, and you're like, is anybody surprised? Because what it does then is it sows division between the haves, not even the haves, but the have-somes and the have-less, so to speak. You know, because it paints this idea that the reason you're not doing so well is because there's people on social welfare and they're taking all the money and there's no money left to actually look after people like you, when it's absolute sense people on social welfare really take up a tiny amount of our budget, you know. Mm. Like, I mean, the idea of, like, the energy credits, I mean, I don't, like, I put a cap on it for 200,000. And the reason I put a cap on it for that is because, or not even 170,000.
Yeah, well, you don't need it after that. No, you don't need it after that.
Well, no, I don't think it's fair that overpaid civil servants and politicians get it.
No.
Then they also have their second or their third homes, and they get it for that as well.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you on that. No, I do agree with you. I think 100,000. I think 100,000 of a family income would be reasonable to have a cut off point for those.
But
things.
If you think about 100,000, like 100,000, oh, geez, 100,000 euros a year, 100,000 euro a year, particularly like if you're living in a city, is not like the massive amount of money it was nowadays. Do you know, it should be not. I mean, even like you need to do something with the tax rates in this country, because like the idea of a person on 42,000 euros a year paying 40% of that back in tax is just mind-boggling to me as well. That's too much taxation on people as well. That's one area that could be looked at. Maybe you introduce a 30% tax band or leave them at 20%, because like people complain that, you know.
Yeah, but if you're on 43 or 44,000, you're not going to be paying 40 cent, because it only goes by the amount of money over what that thing is.
No. When you hit the 40,000 euro mark, if you go over that, you go up into the 40% tax bracket.
Yeah, but you're not paying 40% on everything. You're only paying 40% on what you earn over that bracket.
No, I know, but that's still, like, in this day and age, that still doesn't sound fair.
No, I know it doesn't. You are right. We need to increase those brackets, because the cost of living has risen, you know, and 40,000 is not what it used to be. 40,000, you know, years ago was only 20,000, if you know what I mean. So what I'm saying is that bracket needs to go up to 60 grand now, easily.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, because, you hear the things like, oh, people are getting free money, blah, 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 blah. But what they're getting is being put back into the economy anyway.
Oh, no,
you give a family on 100,000 euros a year, you give them fuel allowance or give them tax breaks or like give them back to school allowance. You know, like all that stuff that the lower income families get, that money is immediately going back into the economy. You know, it's the rich people that are able to hoard their money. You know, it's the people like my boss, you know, who have enough money where they can, you know, employ an accountant who'll tell you, right, well, you buy a new machine this year and a new truck, and you can use that as a tax write-off. You'll pay no tax.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Like this is like the infuriating thing. We all got stuck with an 800 euro tax bill because we were on a pandemic payment. We were like, hey, boss, any chance you pay for it? And he was like, geez, sorry, guys, the company's a bit stuck. Can't really pay that for you. Now watch me pour 90,000 euros worth of concrete out the back garden so I can claim it all as a tax. These are the issues that we have in the country, not the idea that someone on social welfare getting a rise of 12 euros a week is the reason that you can't afford to heat your house. Mm. Do you know the anger?
Yeah, but then now it's not your boss. It's not your boss or anybody else's boss's fault that we're allowing energy costs, particularly, which are one of the main expenses in this country for any family now, to spiral out of control. I mean, when you look at the average electricity bill or gas bill or oil bill, very few people have oil nowadays in the south of Ireland, maybe in the north. Have you got oil? Yeah. In rural Ireland, it's more common, obviously. But when you look at those energy bills and the forecourt putting your diesel and petrol in the car, we're now the most expensive in Europe. I mean, that's not something we should be proud of.
But no, it's not. For sure. I mean, look at it like during the pandemic when we were all stuck at home, which you'd imagine we'd be using more electricity. My ESB bill every 2 months was 100, and I think the most expensive one I got was 130 euro. My ESB bill now is about 360 quid every 2 months. And then heat and oil, like the only way I have for heat in my house or getting hot water is kerosene. It was 65 cent a litre. I was in two drums for 28 euro. Now that 28 euro will barely fill one drum. Some places are charging 160 a litre. Do you know, and we're going
160 a litre. Wow. So to fill up a tank, most people's tanks are 1,000 litre tanks. So just to fill up a tank is 1.5 grand, essentially.
I got a half a tank for 250 quid one time during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Do you know?
You'd use more than a tank in the winter, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
Do you know? Now, see, we have insulation, so we're not too bad.
you know, so it saves me that little bit extra money. But like, house we were living in before, like, if we were living there now, I'd be absolutely stone broke, because it was a cold house. We were going through two big bags of coal every week and probably using two drums of oil as well. It was an old cold house. You're talking, that'd be nearly 100 euros a week just to heat the house alone.
And coal coal has really gone expensive too, isn't it now?
It's nearly 40 euros for a large bag of coal. I remember last time I bought a bag of coal, it was 9 quid. And I hadn't bought it in so long, and someone said it to me. And I was like, how much did it go on? 38 euro. Fuck off, I'm not that stupid.
I remember my ma, when your man, the coal man, used to come, because he used to have to walk through the house, right? And he was covered in black soot, right? And my ma used to go mad because she had a new carpet, so she put plastic down for him. Anyway, but I remember he'd walk in and be like one bag after the other. He'd go out, back and forward out to his truck, right? And he'd fill up the coal shed. We had a coal shed out the back, right? And there must have been about 10 bags of coal, large sacks that'd be over his shoulder, right? There must have been about 10. And like, she'd hand him 20 quid or something.
Yeah, I know, it is. It's ridiculous. And it's all these carbon taxes. Do you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm all for, like, let's go green and let's be good to the planet and stuff. But, like, the idea of taxing people, like, to heat their houses with no alternative is just absolute insanity.
There's no reason, by the way, for oil and gas and coal or whatever it is, you know, energy in general, to be as expensive as it is. The main reason for it is green policies across Europe. That's what's causing the increase.
Indeed.
Because a barrel of oil is now cheaper than it was in 2008.
But, like, think of it this way as well. Like the state get a kickback from...
Oh, yeah, they're making a fortune,
don't they?
So they're
making money from... So they're hardly going to... You know, because they're like, yay, we've got a surplus this year. We can give you money. But you're also like, yeah, but, you know, without that fucking surplus, we might have more money in our pockets.
Mm.
Do you know?
And I do know the ESP, or Airgrid, as it's now called, they do have to maintain the whole system. For all the retailers, obviously, who are selling it. So they do have to, it's their job to maintain all the, you know, the wires and telegraph poles and everything else that go up there. So,
yeah, but I'm sorry, but you still can't justify bills going up over 100% in 3 years. Do you know?
But look at the profits being announced by these energy companies like BP and all these. I mean, they're massive. Billions. They're making more profits now than they ever made. And the government are making more VAT on it and more excise duty and more green tax on it. So
yeah, like, look, I'm not against capitalism. Capitalism, all of our, you know, our nice stuff and our fun trinkets. But like, there has to be a cutoff point. Like, if you want to raise your prices as high as they did, you have to have a justifiable reason. I mean, like,
I'm not against capitalism, but when it comes to things that are necessary for quality of life, i.e., heat and light, you have to have levels of control on price.
But like, why are they, like, if they're so concerned about, like, you know, keeping people warm and let's go green and let's use those fossil fuels, why aren't you saying, right, what we're going to do is we're going to insulate every house in the country and we're going to give you solar panels, we're going to give you a loan, but you can pay it back over the space of 20 or 30 years. Why don't they do something like that?
Mm. Well, they do, don't they?
Do you know?
They do, but there is an incentive, isn't there? But mind you have to have a few quid up front yourself to do that. Okay, but it's
not as easy as you think, though, do you know?
No. Well, hang on, let me just go to Danielle as well. Danielle, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall?
Okay, getting back to the original question, the fuel allowance. Do you think everybody, well, certainly should the mark be set a little bit higher whereby more people can actually avail of it?
Absolutely. Fair is fair, you know.
Mm.
People are struggling. They need help from the government. They can help everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
But it should be prioritised that people can turn on their heating, fill their oil tank, gas tank, whatever, without having to worry about it.
Yeah. Are you oil or gas?
Electric heating.
Oh, you're electric heating. Okay.
Yeah, even worse. Yeah.
I was going to say it's even worse again. Yeah, the cost of electric heating is ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous, right? But why shouldn't people get something back for paying their taxes?
And do you have to limit when you put your heating on? Like, are you conscious of when you switch it on, how long it can be on for?
Yeah, I'd normally just put it on for like a half an hour if I'm cold.
And that, you know, and in the winter, like, for half an hour?
Oh, it's on a bit more in the winter, but I have to be cautious and be aware of how long it's on.
Mm-hmm. Dave, are you conscious of how long your heating is on for? Do you keep an eye on it?
No, I'm the oil company I'm with, there's a few quid goes out of my account every week, all year round. And then come the winter months, I think between September and April then, every
You have a credit.
It used to be once a month. Well, what happened was, it used to be once a month they come and give you a fill, but because of the price, then they come every 2 months. So I get about a quarter of a tank every 2 months, but I'll also throw 20 quid worth into my tank anyway. Do you know what I mean? Just to keep it topped up, you know, because I don't want to be caught in the middle of my pants down, you know?
Yeah, pardon the pun.
But that's the thing, like, you have to be warm and you need light, you know? Mm. They're essential things in life.
And I know, and, I'm, and somebody said to me before about the free market, and I'm all for the free market, and I'm not anti-capitalist. But I think when it comes to certain things like necessities, like milk, bread, tea, sugar, heat, light, all those things are essential. There should be levels of control and regulations on the price. There has to be.
Absolutely. But would you trust our government to regulate them?
Well, they haven't been able to do it so far, so.
Exactly.
I wouldn't trust our government to walk a dog, to be honest with you, personally speaking.
They can't even build a children's hospital, like.
Or a bike shed.
Or a bike shed. Yeah. got there before me.
The bike shed is like the voting machines. It'll go down in Irish history. The bike, the famous bike.
And the printers. Remember the printer?
The printer. Oh, the printer, yeah.
Don't forget the printer.
Was there another one about generators that they bought and they can't get them out of the port?
Was that not the generator or the buses? Remember the buses as well, the electric buses they bought?
No, but
and they had no chargers.
No, but I think that they buy generators and can't get the generators away from the port because the generators might be too heavy to carry over the bridges over the M50.
Ah, stop. There's
something I heard in passing about that.
Creative. Ah, here.
I could be wrong. I caught the tail end of a guy on the radio talking about it, and he was.
Now, you know what? That sounds so most. It sounds so ridiculous. It actually might be true.
Yeah. But like, why should people have to worry about putting on a heat or putting on a light, you know, in this day and age?
But they do. Everybody does.
Exactly. That I do myself. Like,
people who are earning a decent wage, you know, 40,000 a couple, 40 grand each, and they've got a mortgage and they've got a car payment to pay maybe or whatever, 3 kids in school, they get no benefits, no kickbacks from the state. They're worried about putting on their heating too.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And they should be given back to school allowance as well, or a chance to even be tested for it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see why not. There's no reason.
Well, the reason the government doesn't want to pay it out. Sorry, Dave, yeah?
No, I was just going to say back to school allowance should be like children's allowance. Everybody should get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, totally, you know, because it's for kids. It's for, like, I mean, an educated workforce is what we aspire to have in the future, because more educated people we have, the better a society we have. It's an investment for the future, like, you know, short-term pain for long-term gain,
Couldn't agree with you more. Let me go to James as well. James, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Noel?
How you doing, James? James, I know this is a bit of a leap forward, you know, but should everybody be kind of entitled to these types of payments? You know, within reason, obviously, if you earn maybe over 100 grand family household income, like Dave said 170, I said 100 would be reasonable, that you don't get it. But, you know, like, we're all struggling to pay the bills.
Yeah, well, I do believe it needs to be means tested, and I believe the people who would be eligible should get more than 400 euros, because those who really need it actually do really need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think by saying a blanket check for everyone for 400 quid kind of sounds nice on the surface, but when you actually drill down into the numbers, it's not really a substantial impact.
Well, not at the moment, it's not, like, no.
You know, with the cost of energy is like...
Yeah, but 5 years ago, 5 years ago, the 900 quid per season would have got you through, you know, with a full fill of oil or something like that. Wouldn't now?
No, like, I've done quick calculations here. I reckon, so what, you probably have your heating on for 7 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, the latter in the spring into summer, you wouldn't really need it, and then mid into autumn. So probably 7 months of the year. I'd say that probably cost me roughly about 2.5K, 3K, roughly. You know, that's just a 7 months heating extortion amount of money for such a necessity.
Yeah.
And considering most of it is taxation and profit, it's kind of sick.
Yeah.
Considering it's a basic need for people, you don't have a choice whether you can put on the heating or not.
No.
Unless you want to sit in the cold.
But I know people who do. I know people who sit there with duvets around them.
I know my grandmother lived like that in the latter end of her life.
Mm.
She'd rather sit with a blanket over her lap than put on the TV. At stages, she'd sit with a scarf and a blanket over her. I just couldn't fathom. I know she didn't have the money. Obviously, she was on a pension. So she was very cautious with how she spent her money. But
that shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't have to do that.
Especially at the latter end of your life. I mean, considering people who are elderly, like they have pre, you know, like they have conditions, health conditions that they...
Of course, yeah. Hypothermia can set in quite quickly, yeah.
Yeah, and it compromises the immune system, like, and it changes your blood flow, etc. So it's literally, for old people, it's a matter of quality of life and health.
Well, I mean, last winter, I heard there was a guy I knew worked in a shopping centre, and he was telling me the amount of old people that used to come to the shopping centre in the morning and sit there and swig on a cup of coffee in the coffee shop for the whole day so they could just stay in the heat because they couldn't afford to heat their homes.
I know, it's sad. Like, we essentially become morally bankrupt.
Mm.
As a state, you know, it's become a very cutthroat country, and it's just all
But we seem to have accepted that we're one of the most expensive countries in Europe, and we are the most expensive when it comes to energy. We just seem to have accepted that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't understand why the government haven't pulled these companies to the coalface, you know, pardon the pun, and asked them to explain why they're charging so much for the energy. You know, the numbers don't add up, and why a profit margin so big. You know, like, what's an acceptable percentage of profit?
The government haven't said anything because the more they're charging, the more money the government are making. The government are getting 23% of it, plus they're getting all the carbon taxes on it as well. So they're getting half of it, roughly.
And that's kind of the dirty secret of inflation as well, isn't it, for the government?
Mm-hmm.
Every time, you know, the price of goods go up, the
government get more money.
Revenue also goes up.
Okay, well, you agree. You know? I know you're not anti-capitalist, right? So, but, and neither am I. But I do agree with a level of capitalism when it comes to essential goods. So when you're talking about bread, milk, sugar, you know, water, thankfully we don't pay for it in this country, although you can buy it, you know, energy, I believe all those things should be controlled.
Yeah, I definitely think that.
And regulated.
Heavily regulated when it comes to pricing, you know, they're essential for human life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they should be allowed to operate on the whims of the market and allow supply and demand to dictate price. I know, like, we're exposed to external factors because we don't have national oil refineries, etc., and we don't really produce most of our own energy, so we do have the, you know, dictates of the international marketplaces. But I'd say the major issue here is, like you said, no, it's taxation, which is greed. The whole country at the moment is just destroyed because of fucking greed. That's the truth, you know? There's no compassion, there's no morality in the business class, in politics. It's all just about electioneering, getting to the next election where the country's bled dry. And it doesn't matter how much misery is foisted upon the people. It doesn't matter when it comes to housing. You know, like, all the essentials of life have kind of been weaponized against us, sadly.
Politicians, you know, are just, I mean, they're not being held accountable. They're just getting from one election to the next. And their purpose in life is to avoid complications in that 5 years. It's not to actually make life better for people.
Well, I say, ultimately, the actual problem is a lack of credible media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scrutinising the state now, you know, shining. That's the purpose of
it. But why would the media scrutinise the state when they're getting 735 million from them? To me personally, right, and this is a personal view, by the way, you know, RTE being given massive amounts of money and handouts by the government is a huge conflict of interest.
Huge conflict of interest. And then let's even go into the private market of media now. You know, there's an unhealthy relationship and dependency from private market media.
Yeah, I'd agree.
On add revenue from the state.
I spoke to a producer, I won't say which show it was or which radio station it was, you can all have a guess, but I spoke to a producer of a show there recently, going back about 4 or 5 months ago, and I was saying, you know, like, well, oh no, the politicians don't really come on my show, I said, because I won't ask them the nice questions they want. He says, ah, yeah, he said, like, you know, our presenters pull back, like, they wouldn't challenge them too much, because if they do, they won't come on again. And that's the problem. But see, here's the thing. They have created the problem. The problem that I don't have the politicians, well, some of them will come on, okay? And the ones that are doing a good job, generally, right, will come on. But they won't come on the show. But the reason they will go on the other shows is because they get an easy ride, right? Or they won't get challenged too much. They get challenged, you know, they make it sound like they're being a bit dramatic, make it sound like they're being challenged every now and again. But if those presenters challenge them properly, well, then they would have no choice but to go on all media. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because they wouldn't get publicity otherwise. Yeah, there'd be no escape.
No escape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No matter where you go, you're going to face scrutiny, so you have to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I mean, look at the treatment I got during the general election, or during the European elections, on RTE, for example, and the way I was treated in comparison to the way other politicians were treated. It's a stark difference.
No, right. So this is kind of off topic, but I think it's a relevant question to what we're talking about currently. Do you think media personalities should have to be transparent about who they vote for?
Well, you're not meant to, as a media personnel, well, if you're doing a talk show, you're not meant to promote one over another.
Yeah, but like, let's be honest, even the best of individuals are biased. You know, it's just human nature. We have
biases. Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue telling people who I'd vote for. That doesn't mean, by the way, people have to do the same thing as me.
No, you're entitled to your own individual opinion, but at least you're transparent now, and people know what kind of economy you believe in, what social structures you believe in, your ideas on multiple topics. So people have a good feel for your honest opinion on things.
Mm.
Where you have these people in RTE, etc., where we don't really know much about their own personal beliefs. And is that a motivating factor for why they give some politicians an easy go?
Mm.
You know, there's no transparency. There seems to be a toxic relationship between media and the state. We're a very small country, so we have a very small media sector. So there seems to be just this kind of toxic kind of in-group fucking weirdness going on between media and politics, where the country is in shambles. But if you read the media, you think the biggest pressing issues are like the most frivolous of issues.
Mm. Oh yeah, because we'll highlight the smaller issues because they can deal with those, but the bigger ones we'll just ignore. And, you know, I'm not going to go on very much. I have to go into a break. Actually, stay with me. I'll come back after the break. Thank you very much indeed, Dave. James, stay with me for a second. I want to go back to the issue, by the way, in relation to, you know, whether we should or shouldn't be paying everybody some sort of fuel allowance, considering the price of energy in this country. We're the highest in Europe. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Sorry, just coming back to James, just very quickly before I go back into the topic, because I haven't addressed it, and I meant to address it. This is in relation to the RTE documentary that went out, or the primetime special that went out on Wednesday night. And as predicted, and I did predict what it would be like, the best amateur filmmaker, or the worst amateur filmmaker in the world, could go out and find, you know, six or seven of the biggest lowlifes shouting racist stuff, setting fire to things and walking around with sticks in their hand. That's really easy investigative journalism. Any gobshite could do that. What they didn't tackle, and by the way, the individuals who made those racist comments have to deal with their own conscience and their own hatreds inside within themselves. Those involved in throwing petrol bombs or walking around with sticks or throwing sticks at people, they're criminal activities that already should be dealt with within the law. And, you know, those individuals should be charged if indeed they're identified. So there's nobody suggesting for a minute those sort of people or society shouldn't get away with that. But they are not representative of the 75% of people, according to an Ipsos poll or Red Sea poll in this country, who suggests that the government are making a hames of the immigration problem in this country. But RTE didn't tackle that. They didn't. So are RTE now going to do a primetime special part two where they, you know, speak to Roderick O'Gorman, where they go with a hidden camera inside an iPass centre, you know, where these people are presenting themselves and telling lies to solicitors and barristers and people who are taking the applications about their identification? Are they going to go to the board where people are sneaking in and tearing up their documents? Are they going to be going to the Minister for Justice and asking her and her department as to why they're not deporting people or acting on deportations? Are they going to be doing all that? I doubt RTE will do that. And that's the problem, James, when you have an RTE that show one side of a story, but not why all of that is happening.
Well, no, like, I think that's just a perfect example of what we talked about just before the break now.
Mm.
They seem to be trying to control the narrative and project the government message to the population and not giving everyone a fair crack of the whip. And they're presenting some individuals that they want to demonise in the most disgusting way possible, and calling them some of the most grotesque names you could think of,
mm-hmm.
And characterising everyone who has opposition to what's going on as that's what we are, that's what they are.
Yeah.
That's the face of their movement. Mm-hmm. And anybody who agrees with that talking point, well, that's what you're agreeing with.
Yeah.
You know, you're agreeing with violent street thugs who petrobomb their guards.
Yeah.
Honestly, no, and I don't actually see, I cannot see a clear packet out of this for the country now.
Well, there isn't, because as I said earlier on to Gavin Pepper, you've got a government party, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have both gone up in the polls. I have no doubt they will both be re-elected again in the next election. So we've another 5 years of it.
At least. But, like, where's this going to end now? Is what happened in Coolock just going to be the natural course of business now for the country going forward?
I hope not.
But these tensions aren't going to alleviate now. And there's no genuine path to recourse or even to correct course now. They've given away all our abilities to control immigration policy to the EU, to the UN. So, and they seem steadfast and committed on upholding these policies. They're after entangling us in the European Court of Human Rights, which completely overrides our constitution. So I cannot see a clear path out of this other than violent recourse now.
Well, I certainly don't like to see violence. That's not one thing.
Neither do I, but I cannot see any other peaceful way of this fixing itself.
All right, well, look, I want to get back to what we were talking about. No, I just thought I wanted to address that, the RT primetime special. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was disgraceful. I thought it was really bad journalism. Any amateur film photographer could have gone out, or amateur documentary maker could have gone out and find, you know, 7 or 8 of the worst characters they could possibly find and broadcast them just to make everybody look bad. They're not representative of the people of Ireland, or people of Ireland who have hold that view. Okay, stay there for a second, James. Let me go to Mick. Mick, just to get back to you in relation to this fuel allowance, the fuel grant. Do you believe everybody should be entitled to it under a certain income of, say, 100,000 family income, rather than just those on very low income or social welfare?
No, I reckon anyone that's on, say, under 60,000.
60,000. Family income.
Family income, 60,000, take home pay. Should be entitled to fuel allowance.
60 grand60 grand is not a lot of money if you factor in a mortgage of 20. Say average mortgage nowadays probably 25,000 a year. So if you factor in a mortgage, a car payment to get to work, you know, 65 is, and you have 3 kids. 65 is not a lot of money, or 60 grand. It's not a lot of money.
Yeah, no, I understand that now, but in fairness, where are we? Like, if you're going to give it to everybody, the country will eventually run out of money. You know.
Well, then maybe I'm asking the wrong question. Why aren't we tackling the energy companies? That's the question I probably should be asking then, shouldn't it?
Well, definitely. Absolutely. We should be. You know, the fuel, the petrol, diesel, electricity, they should be all brought up and seen exactly like that. They're making huge profits off our this country. Mm-hmm. We should be getting some of that back. Or what I think, anyone that has a car, petrol, diesel car, hybrid car, whatever, instead of doing the road tax, pay for, put the tax onto the price of your petrol, diesel, or whatever you use during the year.
Well, I don't think there is much road tax on an electric vehicle, is there?
I
think it's only 50 quid or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, say the ordinary petrol diesel car, you know, instead of charging ridiculous prices at the pump, you're paying for your road tax, and then you're paying more tax on your petrol and diesel. Just leave it at the one tax.
Well, why not try and regulate the cost of energy? Because, like, for example, I mentioned oil earlier on. The cost of a barrel of oil is less now than it was in 2008. Yet by the time it gets into a forecourt in this country, it's twice the price that, well, 1.5 times the price it used to be. If you go back to 2019, it was about 1.34 at the forecourt. Now it's 1.70 to 2 litre, depending on where you go and what time of the year it is.
Well, that's right, Joe. We see that's the government. See, that's the government.
Well, it's the government, but it's also green policies around Europe that have cost, because there's less refineries now. And it's also the fact, of course, that we're not buying cheap oil from Russia anymore. Where now what we're doing is we're allowing Russia to sell it at discount prices to the Chinese. They're rebarreling it, refining it, and selling it back to us at premium prices. There's a lot of virtue signalling going on there.
Oh, there is. There's a lot of black market under the table wheeling and dealing down there. Yeah. Fact is, everybody knows there's wheeling and dealing, and the Irish government has their hand in it, like every other government across Europe. You know, that there has to be some sort of, as you say, regulation. You know, the Irish people are very sick of it. They are sick of it. And you just don't know where to go. Like, you go protest then a Bowhurst, and you get a few tugs in there, and next thing, it's a riot.
I know. Yeah, tugs are ruining every protest now. They really are. You know what I mean, to be honest with you? There's a few individuals out there. And by the way, it's only a small amount of individuals. There's about 5 or 6 of them. And I see them at protests, and I say, once they go, that's the end. The protest is going to turn out to be bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like one bad apple in a barrel.
I know, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They ruin it for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the main thing about it is, like, and a lot of people, I think a lot of people forget to this. Right, just say, for example, there, you're going to protest about the oil, the price of petrol and diesel, right? And you're going to have a massive big protest down O'Connell Street. And everyone in the middle, in the country comes up to Dublin. Now, you're going to put 20, and the Irish government loves to see people protesting. It's a right to protest. But the amount of money that we're generating for the Irish government by protesting, say, for example, over the price of fuel, they're laughing at, they're rubbing their hands and laughing at it.
Because we all have to drive to the protest or get the train or whatever it is to get there.
Exactly, and if you want to buy a couple of cups of coffee in a burger, there's tax on absolutely everything.
Okay, but getting back to the allowance, so you believe 60 grand would be an adequate amount to set that cap at? At the moment it's 34, I think. You believe 60,000?
I think 60 grand is enough. Like, there's no point giving it to the people that are on over 100,000 a year. Like, you know, that's just ridiculous.
No, I didn't say over 100. I said the cap should be 100.
Yeah, but look at people with 70 or 80, 90,000 a year should be able to live.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Stay there too, James, please. Senan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Noel, how are you?
Good. Okay, you believe if we all switch to retrofitting and the energy bills would be halved?
I think so, yes. I mean, I paid about 40 grand. It was absolutely brilliant. And, the government paid me back.
Hold on, James, what are you laughing at him for?
We're talking about people who can barely afford 2.5 grand a year to heat their homes, and this fella comes on saying, if everyone paid 40 grand to retrofit their homes, we'll all be fine.
The government paid me, I got a grant, they gave me the money.
But they couldn't.
They literally gave me free money to do my house up.
Yeah, but you have to have the money in the first place, Senan. You don't just ring the government and say, give me 40 grand to do me house up. You have to provide plans, you have to get an architect in, you have to show them the plans, you have to pay money up front. Not everybody has that. You obviously have, Senan.
But my friend Paul, he didn't have the money and he got a loan and he actually managed to...
I'm delighted for your friend Paul. But I'm just saying to you, that's not available to everybody. If it was a government grant for everybody, I'd say, well done.
It's difficult to just, like, do it, though, is it? It's really easy just to be able to do it.
I think this is the definition of out of touch now.
And Senan, I don't know, how old is your house, Senan, that you did up? That you retrofitted?
It was built in the 80s.
Yeah, what about houses that were built in the 50s and 60s in Crumlin and Kimmage and Coolock and all those kind of places?
I think they're all available to be done.
Oh, yeah, but the older houses cost more to do up. There's a lot more to it. You know, and you know, what about Mary, who lives in Finglas for the last 60 years? She's a pensioner living on her own. Do you know what I mean? How is she going to afford it?
Well, I'm just giving my point, Noel. I'm just saying I found it a very simple process. And I think it was well worth doing, to be honest. And my bills have halved at the time. It's totally worth more.
Yeah, but it cost you 40 grand. Your bills didn't half. Like, what's the loan repayment? I got it at a low cost, the interest.
Yeah, okay, well, it doesn't matter how low it is, you still have to pay it back.
I think it was over a 10-year period or so.
Yeah, on top of your energy bills. But I'm delighted for you that your energy bills have halved. So what did you get, by the way? What sort of a heat exchange pump is it?
I got a pump, I got the beads in the walls, and I got ten panels. My roof wasn't big enough to put 12 on to pay them back.
Right.
I wasn't going to sell the money back.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you can't sell electricity back to them?
No. Okay. I think I've been ripped off, to be honest.
Anyway, I know somebody who has them, and he's not getting any money back, by the way. And he was promised that he would get money back. That if he put money back or electricity into the grid, he'd get money back, but he's not getting a bean.
How many solar panels does he have?
I don't know. He seems to have a lot on his roof. He has them hanging out of his yin yang. Anyway, but they cost him a fortune. I think it was 16 grand just for the panels.
Fuck, that's
really
expensive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they are. Like, some people have them and they only heat water. Some of them have them and they do the electricity as well. By the way, I'm not slagging it off, Senan. If you can afford to retrofit your house, absolutely, it'll make your bills cheaper. But yeah, the government have got grants available, but they're not available to everybody. And you have to have your own money to start off the ball rolling on it. You can't just, you know, apply for it and they just hand you out a check. Like, it doesn't work like that.
So, if there's a two-income family and they're able to afford it, like, the grant should be able to come in as well.
Mm.
If you've got a two-parent income with 70 grand, you know, that should cover the grant.
James, I suppose, now, let's not, you know, take too much of the piss out of Sennan. He's got a point. If you can afford to retrofit, it does work out cheaper when you're running your house. Yeah, but now, that, now, mind you, that's only at the moment because the cost of doing that, you know, and the government are encouraging it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's heavily subsidised. And obviously, like the guy said, there's schemes there that you can avail of, etc. But realistically, it's probably going to take the good to 10 years to see a full payback by the time you pay off the loan, etc.
Yeah.
It's just not viable for a large swath of the population. Like, that's why they need year-to-year help. Mm. You know, if they could afford to retrofit their house now, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, it's like if we could all afford an electric car, it'd be great, wouldn't it? But we can't.
And can I just say,
Mitch Sennan has an electric car. Sennan, have you got an electric car? Of course,
yeah. Yeah, I've got a new Tesla for 120 grand.
I'm sure. I didn't even have to ask.
Sennan, I'm sorry, but I think you fit the definition of out of touch, to be truthful. Like, I don't think you really understand the average Joe on the street. You know, you sound like you live a very privileged lifestyle that very few people probably are accustomed to, you know? So you don't understand the struggles of people to meet their energy bills, etc. You know? There's hundreds of thousands of people in this country that really are terrified of turning on their gas when it comes to the winter time. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, you just paid 120 grand for a Tesla, you know what I mean? So you clearly don't understand the struggles of Mary and Finglas, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not having a go at you. I'm not begrudging you the money. Fair play to you. You're obviously successful. You can afford that kind of money for a car.
Well, I mean, you know, it was just something I thought I would bring to the show to maybe see if people were able to do it. But like, if they're not able to...
I accept what you're saying. And I'm not begrudging you, you know, your success. And obviously, you know, you have a few quid. But it isn't for the majority of the population, Senator, because they couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah, no, I understand.
When they make that affordable, if Eamon Ryan was doing his job properly, you know, and if they made all of that affordable, because some of it, by the way, it doesn't matter what you think of climate change and what you think of the planet and all that, you know, look, if it's affordable and it's beneficial to people to have their energy bills, absolutely. Well, sure, why wouldn't they want to do it? But for most, it's just not affordable. It's not a doable thing. The same way as for most, buying an electric car is not doable. By the way, at the moment, probably not a good idea to buy an electric car because they're dropping in value too quickly. You know what I mean? Selling your Tesla in 2 years' time, you're going to lose more money on your Tesla in 2 years' time than you will on a diesel car.
Well, I'm due for an upgrade next year anyway, so...
Oh, well then, fair, it doesn't matter then, does it really? Sorry, Selling. I mean, you only have it a year and it's going to be going for an upgrade.
I felt like I'd be with the newer model, to be honest.
Yeah. And how often do you change your car?
Well, usually every 3 years, but I just saw the new one coming out and I said I wanted a new one instead.
What's it, a model? What is it, a Y? Or what model is it?
Well, I couldn't even tell you. My wife just wanted it and I said, fair enough.
Okay. Selling, listen, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Gee, sorry.
Yeah, so, back to
the real world.
Back to the real world, you know. Most
Well, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Listen, sorry, James, unless you want to say something quickly, or Mick. Mick, sorry, what do you want to say, Mick?
I said he definitely doesn't need the fuel allowance anyway.
No, I don't. I don't think so. Maybe his wife needs it because she knows what kind of car they're driving. He doesn't. Imagine he doesn't even know what the hell is going on in this world. Anyway, no, but look, lads, in fairness to him, the only thing I will say is, if you could afford to do it and you don't need the money and you're wealthy, retrofitting is a great idea because it cuts your bills in half. But unfortunately, retrofitting only seems to be for those who seem to be reasonably wealthy at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I had a spit 40 grand, so it wouldn't be...
Yeah, sorry, Mick. Mick, what'd you say there?
I said, I agree with what you said, mate. Yeah, it is a good idea if you can afford it, but unfortunately, as that gentleman beside you there said, it's not for everybody, so we may just do what we can with what we have.
That's it, just fill up our tanks. Listen, thanks very much indeed, James and Mick, I appreciate it. We shall try and continue this after the break, by the way, if we can. We'll take one or two more on it. But I also want to talk about homework, by the way, because Maynooth University did a little survey They're showing that students work best with a small amount of homework tasks, up to 15 minutes. These short tasks have been shown to dramatically boost students' performances. Overall, a little and often approach to homework proves to work better. The study also found that students, no matter of what socioeconomic background, experience similar benefits to less homework. Students in the senior cycle can be doing up to 4 to 5 hours of homework a night on top of study for their exams, leaving them with no time for a balance of life or personal life. And they said that wasn't a good thing. So it really kind of comes back to the question we used to ask years ago. Should we scrap homework altogether? Because students seem to benefit from having less homework, to be honest with you. Or should we massively reduce the amount? I mean, do you remember homework when you were a kid in school? Like, straight homework. As soon as you come in, your mad's like, come do your homework. You weren't allowed to watch the telly. You weren't allowed to do anything until you did your homework first. Anyway, do you think students benefit from homework or do you think they don't benefit? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.